Hi, I'm Michael Connelly, and my new thriller, The Night Fire, is out now in paperback, ebook, and audio. In L.A., crime never sleeps. But for Detective Renee Ballard, Harry Bosch, and the Lincoln lawyer Mickey Haller, the fire to seek the truth always burns. Will it light the way or leave their lives in ashes? You can read The Night Fire in paperback, ebook, and audio now.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Oh, hello, I'm Kian Toomey.
And I'm Emily Rochford.
And we're the hosts of The Kian and Emily Show. The show where we complain about living with each other, why delivery drivers can't deliver a garlic dip, and what about you, Emily?
We're going to talk about some serial killers and Justin Bieber.
Spooky. The Kian and Emily Show, live on Acast. And Spotify and iTunes. Is that it? Yeah. Somewhere.
So.
Yeah. Just.
Just the Kian and Emily Show.
On Acast.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. New episode is up on YouTube and on IGTV. And also, I'm one of the rotating hosts of the Game Brain podcast, which just got nominated for Podcast of the Year over on Board Game Geek, which is kind of like the
ground. Cool.
That's like the main like board game hub. Like that's like the top. The main area, if you need to learn about board games, you go to Board Game Geek, and they have like an annual award show thing. Not show, but a thing where they give out awards. So Game Brain got nominated for one of the best podcasts of the year. So,
wow, right on. Congrats.
Super cool. I mean, I barely can take any of the congrats because I only just came on as a rotating host, but congrats to everyone who built that podcast. It's awesome. So go check that out if you're interested in board games. It's super cool. And then joining me, that other voice you hear, that deep, sexy voice that you hear on the podcast, ooh, is none other than Ronnie Karam of the Rose Pricks Batch Roast podcast, which is currently covering Listen to Your Heart.
Yeah, and this week's on that bonus for Rose Pricks, we're going to do Too Hot to Handle on Netflix, which
How is
a damn mess. It's amazing and stupid.
Yeah.
We're going to cover that. So, yeah, that's a whole other world going on over there. So go check that one out. Super fun. I'm loving Listen to Your Heart.
Mm. I mean, it's a great song and hopefully a great show, too.
Yeah. And then here we are today.
Here we are. We basically, if you didn't hear, our shows for May and June have been postponed, unfortunately, due to coronavirus and staying inside, which is really important to do to make sure we can flatten the curve for our dear people working in the hospitals. But the other thing is that we have a lot of people with small businesses that are kind of having a hard time right now. So we want to give some small business shout outs. I got one here from Sammy McLean, who says she wants to plug IS Projects, or Is Projects, is IS, capital IS Projects. It's a printmaking and book art studio in Fort Lauderdale. And she was at the Fort Lauderdale show, and she says, an experience none of us will soon forget. That is for sure. That was a crazy
yeah,
show.
That show was cuckoo burn.
So Sammy says, the shop is entirely owned and operated by women, and we do all things screen printing, letterpress, bookbinding, etc. We're a resource for hand-bound books and hand-printed invitations, business cards, posters, and fine art prints, plus They have a fine art gallery and host workshops, okay? So they also have a bunch of virtual programming that they're doing right now. They can do a virtual tour of the gallery, which is a thing that museums are doing, are virtual tours, Instagram Live artist talks, tutorials, and donation-based online art classes. So if you're interested in helping Sammy out, you want to get some stuff, or you want to just take a tour, a virtual tour, go to isprojectsfl.com. So isprojectsfl.com. Or at ISprojects on Instagram.
And if you're here in Austin, where I'm at, and you're craving your barbecue, Styles Switch Barbecue, it's off of North Lamar in Austin. They're doing to-go orders with beer, and you can purchase online and pick up at the restaurant. A great burnt ends. If you want to order, go to StylesSwitchBarbecue.com. And then there is Wicked Sugar Fashion. Sorry, Wicked Sugar Fashion in Strongsville, Ohio. Check them out. Go to WickedSugarFashions.com. They're offering free shipping for the foreseeable future. And for local customers, they're offering no contact drop-offs or pickup orders. On Instagram and Facebook, you can find them at Wicked Sugar Fashion.
I feel like I've been to Styles Barbecue in Austin. I don't know why I feel that way. Or maybe I don't know. I'm looking at it now. Maybe I haven't. But it sounds so familiar. Is it one of the famous ones?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, listen, barbecue in Austin. I mean, if you've got some good barbecue in Austin, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Right? You're a hero.
Yeah,
you're a local hero.
Well, so anyway, yeah, everyone support our fellow Crappins listeners and if you can and all that good stuff. And today, we are going to be recapping two shows. We have the season finale of Real Housewives of Atlanta and the most recent Shaw's episode. So, we're just going to dive into it. Atlanta, you know, it seemed like it was going to be a really good episode because the previews showed lots of fighting and Todd going, security, security. But it actually was not so great, if you ask me, unfortunately. I feel like
it was pretty lame. It was a pretty dud ending to a pretty dud season. And you knew it was going to be a dud because there previously the season on Real Housewives of Atlanta was really long.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good 7 minutes long.
It was long.
Reminding us of better times because there were better times. I mean, this season did start on some good stuff.
This whole
season wasn't terrible. It just really fell down towards the end.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was actually a good season, and then Greece, and then after Greece, it just should have ended, and we just had to sit through just drawn out footage, and it became kind of really hard to watch. We had to sit through like boring scenes of Dennis being cranky and Candy and Todd bickering, and then this controversy at the end that Kenya called Nene a bully. And this, it's like it's such small potatoes.
Nene is a bully.
They're both bullies.
Stupid. Yeah, it was stupid. And these Housewives shows, I stick by my just general thought: Housewives shows should only be 16 episodes tops. They should be 13. I don't think they should be any longer. No Housewives should be longer than that. I think it's a perfect amount. It's like 3 months plus reunion, so it's like 4 months total. It's in and out. It's perfect every time. Jersey has done I think they've been really successful with that because it's just not overloading you, you know?
Yeah.
And people are still enjoying it by the end. But Atlanta is their biggest show. This is also where Beverly Hills falls down every year, every single year now, because I think they're like number three on Bravo, and they're the number two Housewives. And so they do the same shit, you know? They make it 24 episodes, and it's just too much.
Yeah, it falls on its face, and this season really did that a lot. Basically, you know, things open up with everyone doing all sorts of stuff. Kenya Moore's having a launch at Sally Beauty. Sally Beauty is really having a big moment with some very small launches on Bravo. We had Reza's in suburban Vegas with like 15 people who showed up at that Sally Beauty. And now we have Kenya who shows up at hers with like 5 people also. Oh, Sally Beauty really killing it.
Yeah, and I guess that's just a thing. I guess Sally Beauty is now just connected with Bravo.
I guess so.
I don't know.
I don't know.
She had a lot of Twitter people waiting waiting for her there. So this is going to be a quick recap. We're just going to kind of go through this so we can get over to Shaw's.
Yeah.
Cynthia calls Noelle. Noelle is blonde now and loving California and going to auditions. And she's already very LA, you know.
She's going maybe down a terrible path.
Basically. Yeah, she's already very LA. She's like, yeah, I'm working with a couple of acting coaches, already up for a couple of things. So, you know what? Gotta be at a meeting, Mom. See you later.
Yeah, and Cynthia's big news is that she and Mike have a wedding date. She's like, okay, think about it. Perfect vision is what? And Noelle's like, oh, 2020, I get it. And she's like, no. Yeah, the year is 2020, but what's 10 plus 10? 20. And if you take each of those 10s and make them a day and a month, October 10th, therefore that becomes
20.
Mom, I'm bored. I already figured this out 5 minutes ago. I have a meeting.
Very witty, Mom. Good luck with hashtagging that on purses. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So then Candy goes up to see Mama Joyce, who, you know, Mama Joyce is really just a monster from hell. And goddamn, yes. I love her. Mama Joyce with her tight little smile and her refusing to open her mouth all the way when she talks to Candy.
Candy, I got some chicken salad for you and I'm going to serve it in a lunchbox because why not? I was like, what? A lunchbox? And she's like, you know, I was traumatized as a little girl and seeing this lunchbox that I just bought reminded me of it. So, but I'm gonna, you talk first and I'll get back to my trauma. So in my mind, I was like, uh-oh. I thought it was going to be a story, like a terrible story of racism in the South and, you know, who knows what. I just thought it was going to go to that dark place and I was bracing myself for a very emotional scene.
So she's like, first you talk, Candy. So Candy's like, well, we're setting up this baby shower. Shadina's going to come. And, okay, just go ahead. Go ahead, Mom. Okay, you called me over here for fucking chicken salad and crackers, first of all. Yeah. Thanks for, like, making an effort. So just get to it. So she's like, now for my traumatic story, Candy. When I was a little girl, I never had a lunchbox. She's like, so then why are lunchboxes traumatic, Mom?
One day I went to school and this girl came up to me and said, you look so cute. How come you don't have a lunchbox? And I said, it's because my mama gave me money to buy my lunch. And she said, can I see the money? And I showed her. And she said, can I hold the money? And I gave it to her to hold. And then she went off with my money.
And that's when I stopped trusting people, Candy. And she's like, so you stopped trusting people in the first grade?
Yeah, Candy just like rolls her eyes.
Other people, they'll take your money. You just have to watch people. It's like,
you just made that up this morning, didn't you, Mom?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she's like calling Candy over so she can get at least one full scene of dissing the hell out of Todd.
Yes.
And no one is stealing Candy's money more than you, Mama Joyce. And I know that you feel like you're so entitled to it because you raised Candy. Well, guess what? You've got enough, okay? And you're already trying to hoard Candy's money in case she dies before you. And you're being a gross fucking human being. Your daughter's married now. Let it go!
I don't know, but then Todd's not great either. I think that I don't know if Joyce is necessarily trying to hoard Candy's money. She's definitely living off of it for sure. But at the same time, Todd is actually actively trying to squander that money. Like, Todd's not just living off it. He's spending it on bullshit. Like, at least Mama Joyce is spending it on her house. Todd's spending it on all sorts of bullshit. So I actually am on Mama Joyce's side with this.
Well, businesses, I mean, you know, businesses that they profit off of.
Yeah.
I'm not on Mama Joyce's side, and I can't believe I would be on Todd's side over hers, but I am. It's like, it's not your fucking marriage. Get out of it. And they already had this scene earlier this year when Mama Joyce was saying, oh, yeah, well, I'm worried that you're going to die and that Todd's not going to give me anything, basically, right? She's being gross. It's just gross. You know, get a fucking job, lady.
I just think, I'm assuming that the way she sees it is that, like, I work so hard to get Candy in a position where she could then go off and be successful, right? And in a certain way, like, Candy's success is their success. That's, I think, how she sees it. And then Todd comes in, and then he just starts, like, spending all this money on things like trucks and OLG brunch and OLG Mexican food and OLG this and that, and just spending it and going to strip clubs and like not speaking to his own daughter. And I think that she's like, fuck this guy. And he probably won't even give it to me when the time comes. So, you know, I think that Todd
trying to make money and Mama Joy's trying to take money. I think Mama Joyce may have worked hard so that Candy could, you know, do whatever. But hi, welcome to being a fucking parent. Okay, you don't get some gold medal. Okay, you raised your child. Thank you. Congratulations.
But Mama Joyce has still a pretty modest house, you know. And I think that like Todd, yeah, he's trying to make money, but he is. I feel like he's trying to make money to try to prove something, like some insecurity that he has. And I think that he's an asshole, as we'll see later in this episode. And I'm very fired up about it.
Yeah, but Candy's not only taking care of Mama Joyce, she's also taking care of her sisters. You know, it's like she's taking care of her whole family. Mama Joyce just, and I know we don't agree on this, but I think Mama Joyce just needs to back the fuck down, okay? Well, it's not your money, and you should just be fucking grateful and stop trying to ruin your daughter's marriage, okay?
She does need to back down, and she should stop meddling in this, in the marriage. But because Candy is supporting so many people, that's why I'm actually not on Todd's side, because he is very unreasonable with all their fighting in the past two episodes about, like, oh, you know, you're not spending enough time with me, when then he is like, you know, she's doing all this stuff to earn this money so she can support all these people and help all these people out. And he's just spending it on this or that because he had a whim, you know. And then he gets mad that, like, you know, that he's being seen as just someone who's irresponsible with money, when that's sort of what he is.
Yeah. Well, Mama Joy sucks. And you know what? I think that it proves both of our points this episode, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think it proves that Mama Joy sucks and that Todd sucks. Well, this episode, definitely Todd as it sucks. Goes on.
Yes, I'm like very fired up about Todd, and I'm like very excited for the scenes where I can really go off on him.
So Wendy Williams calls Nene, and Nene is, of course, a monster. Wendy's got huge news for her. Kenya has talked to TMZ.
Yeah.
Because Kenya was approached by TMZ outside of her sad little tiny strip mall launch.
Yeah, launch. And basically Kenya said that Nene has very few real friends, and she's a bully. That's basically the gist of it. And now Nene is furious. Even though, let's not forget that Nene was the one who called her a buffalo when she was pregnant, and Nene was the one who had a tantrum that Kenya was at Cynthia's event, and that Nene is so obnoxious and toxic that Cynthia had to plot and scheme to have her own friend at her own thing, so that way Nene wouldn't get mad at her. Okay, so let's not ever forget that context.
Yeah, so Wendy's like, you know, I like Kenya, but she's gonna just stir that pot all the way up, Nene, and I just want you to stay calm. Well, if you want her to stay calm, then why are you calling her and telling her about it? You know? And so Wendy tells her, so here's the saying, honey, a dog howls at the moon, but the real story is when the moon howls back at the dog. All right? And you've grown leaps and bounds, honey, okay? You're not gonna fall down that hole, honey.
Yeah. Exactly. And Nene's like, yeah, I'm going to just sit my ass right here and just be like my life coach said. I'm going to stay in my pajamas and be quiet. I mean, I could say a lot of things. I could say that Kenya's marriage license has never been found. I mean, she ain't J-Lo. She ain't Beyonce. And they found their marriage license. But like, and they're not legally married. So there's nothing to divorce. So, you know, I heard it was just a handshake and an agreement that that Kenya and Mark got together and had a baby and she paid for him. But I'm not anywhere talking about it because it's her business. I'm like, yeah. You're on TV and you're talking to a woman who is like professionally a gossip peddler.
I know. She's like, how about that? And Wendy goes, how about that? Because Wendy's getting everything she wants, you know? And Nene's like, yeah, well, I also hear there's just a handshake and that there's a divorce. And they agreed to have a baby that she paid for. And I'm, you know, you don't see me talking about it. And, and then she tells us, she's like, well, you won, honey, because I'm not saying anything. Drinks from her solo cup.
Yeah.
And then she keeps going. She's just going and going. She's like, well, I didn't ask her where her eggs were found, you know? I mean, like, that's Mark's sperm, and those eggs were found somewhere out of the country, and that's why that baby looks like him. But you don't hear me saying that.
That's my favorite when people say that, but I don't say it. I don't say
it's like
it,
the Nita Petrell from In Living Color. You didn't hear it from me because I am one to gossip. And she just hangs out the window like, hi, Lydia. Hi, girl. How you doing? That bitch been pregnant by 5 men. But you didn't hear it from me because I am one to gossip.
I love that. So then Todd is now overseeing this baby shower. He's at this movie studio, and Candy is talking about how Todd knows how to throw the best events with her money. And like, I'm just laughing because last week Todd was complaining that Candy doesn't spend time with the family. And I'm like, you know, you're saying Candy doesn't spend time with the family. She goes off and does these stupid things, whatever. And here you are. This baby shower could have been in like the back room of like a bowling alley or something like that, right? Like it could have been your, it could have been in one of your houses that you have that are connected to each other. But instead, you are now out there busy putting together this over the top crazy baby shower with Candy's money. This is a very expensive thing he's putting on, and it's totally unnecessary. It's the third baby, okay? It's totally unnecessary. And he's putting it on, and now he's spending all this time overseeing it, producing it, yada, yada, yada. You know, if you care so much about the family, why aren't you home with the family letting Don Juan do all this? I just think he's so full of it.
Yeah. Well, Candy calls him, and she's like, well, great. My mom's not coming now to the baby shower because how you treated her earlier. And he's like, oh, I treated her earlier. What? She's like, well, you purposely don't speak to either one of us at the restaurant. And they show the scene of Candy and Mama Joyce going to shoot at the restaurant. And then they get a faraway shot of Todd just all mopey-faced at the bar, refusing to talk to them.
Could you even imagine? I can't even imagine if Dom and his mom were in a restaurant. And I went to that restaurant and I sat like a few tables over and didn't even go over to say hi to either one of them.
Well, I think she said he came and said hi. And no. Then he said he'll be back.
No,
because
he didn't.
She said, I thought... You said you would be he back, said he but was then he never came back.
He said he was coming to the restaurant to say hi, but then he sat at the bar and never came over to say hello. He did not even go over, which is actually so beyond rude. Like, it is beyond rude. I can't even imagine.
Well, yes, that's true, but... he saw what was going on. I mean, Candy brings Mama Joyce there to just berate Tom. Todd. She's already had this scene with Candy where she's saying Todd's trying to steal all her money and this and that. And then she shows up at the restaurant for a shooting day where she's supposed to sit down with Todd. And he's like, I'm not going to sit there and get berated by your mother on national TV again. So and he should have yelled at her and been like, fuck that. Why would you try to set me up to get berated on TV by your mom again? You know
what though, you know, he's not defenseless here. He could have just not gone, or we could have gone over and said hello, and if they start up with him saying like, listen, let's talk about this after the shower, bye. You know, like there's so many ways to avoid that situation, especially he's been on TV long enough. But for him to go and then to sit nearby and then mope is, I think, regardless of what other, you know, factors are involved regarding production, I think it's just beyond rude and it's immature. And I think it's like, it's reprehensible and he's stupid.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of see where he's coming from. I'm like, fuck that. I'm not shooting a scene so your mom can make me look like shit and then get yelled at for it. Like, I get that you're supposed to treat the person's mom with respect, but by not going over there and arguing with her, he is showing a little respect. And Candy owes some respect to her husband, too, where she puts her foot down and doesn't just let her mom run all over him. Every single time, like every single season, you know, I would get sick of that too. And I cannot believe I'm standing up for Todd.
I can't believe
but Joyce is just so gross. Ugh,
I think Todd is indefensible on this situation. He knew that she was there. He knew it. And he just didn't have to even go. If he didn't want to have an altercation, he didn't have to go, but to go and to sit a little away is obnoxious. And I also think that like, I don't know. I just think that there's like, she's a crazy old bat. Everyone knows she's a crazy old bat. You know, this is the thing. When it comes to, like, older people, they just are who they are. You can't change them. And you're the one who's able to adjust and change and adjust your actions and deal with the situation. And he's just being stubborn, too. And he should know better. She doesn't know better, and she never will know better. But he should know better.
She doesn't know better. She's 70.
That's what
she's 70-something.
Yeah, that's the point where you reach the point where you say they just don't know better anymore.
Yeah, I don't give people that excuse.
If you're at 7 and you're still acting that way, that means you don't know better.
Well, you can act like an asshole if you want, but I am not required to take it. And I'm like that with every age. I'm like that with a 2-year-old. If your 2-year-old's a dick to me, then fuck your 2-year-old. I'm not going to talk to your 2-year-olds, okay?
So you would like go to the restaurant and then knowing that someone who is being a dick to you, you go to the restaurant that like your loved one is at, and then you just like sit there and like don't over and go and say hi.
It's like I would go over and say hi. I'm working, you know.
That's all I'm saying. That's all Candy was asking for, and that's all I'm saying he had to do. Just say hello. And the fact he doesn't even say hello in this like sulky
I guess I took it with what she said. Was that he did. He said like I'll be back or something and didn't like ended up just not sitting with him or whatever.
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But she said Candy kept saying a hello costs you nothing, which makes me think that he didn't actually say hello. I think that he
that's true.
I thought that he had said he was gonna come say hi, but then never did. I don't know. I just think he was rude and it's like petty and immature. And I think that I feel like he does spend a lot of money on being immature.
I mean, I think he was really petty and immature too, and especially later in the episode, he gets really bad later. Yeah. Where I mean, I can't defend him, but at this point, I was like, you know, fuck Candy for bringing Mama Joyce around him when she knows what Mama Joyce is armed with. Like, she knows that Mama Joyce is about to come for Todd, and so she brings him around for the season finale. It's like you're trying to mine some drama against your husband for the... I don't know. I was kind of anti-Candy with the whole thing. I was like, gross.
I don't think she was trying to mine drama with her mom and Todd. I actually really don't. I don't think that she wanted that for her baby shower. I think that...
she knew her mom just came out with a lunchbox monologue, so she knew where that was going. I mean,
Todd has like a proven track record of being really petty and immature, like Exhibit A, his daughter. Like, he would not speak to his daughter for weeks on end. Like, this guy has like a lot of growing up to do, and he also, I think that he thinks that everything he does is correct and is like, is amazing, and it's not.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Soccarellis.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Don't return to sender, it's Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Let's run some errands with Emily Arin. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ava Nagila Weber.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day, you're out.
The Bay Area betches.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Incredible edible Matthew sisters.
And she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
We love you guys.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Next up.
next up. Nene visits Portia and PJ, which is really... They just complain about Kenya. And basically, the gist of it is that last week when Kenya went to that event and then said that Shamia called her up and was like my water just broke and Shamia called me and I guess, Portia, you were busy at work or something. It turns out that was all a lie and that Shamia only, like, texted Kenya after she gave birth or something like that.
Yeah, she texted her and was saying, oh my God, it's crazy. Yesterday I was out and my water broke. And Kenya turned that into, remember you called me the day that your water broke?
Which, yeah.
God, so Kenya.
And
Portia's like, fuck that girl. You know, yeah. still trying with me.
Although I actually, again, and this will again probably cause us to have an argument, but I don't think, believe it or not, I do think Kenya was always going to, like, there's for sure shade in that she's always going to put forward, like, her role in her relationship with Shamia at that moment. But I also can see that Kenya is clearly one of those people who just confabulates, like, the truth. Like, just everything gets mixed together. Like, I've got a friend who's always like, oh my God, remember when we moved to, like, I remember when I first moved to LA, and man, I remember those early days, and we would always be going to Barney's Beanery and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I didn't meet you till, like, you know, 10 years later, you know? But like, some people just like mix up their facts and then they just create a new reality. And I think that's what Kenya does, which would explain a lot of her fights.
Well, that's crazy. And Kenya just, yeah, I don't even care enough about Kenya, but it's just gross. It's like, here we are at this Empowering Women event. Kenya has to try and take the spotlight just to show that she's a better friend with Shamia. It's like, yeah, she's just gross. And so she's Portia's coming for people for no reason. It's like, now she's mad at Portia because Portia made up with Nene. So now she's going to try and come for Portia. It's just, it's exhausting.
Yeah. So then we have, like, now everyone's getting ready for the party. We have this, like, one tiny scene where Cynthia's getting her makeup done by her makeup artist. And she goes, my girlfriend's having a baby shower. Hollywood glam. Black party. So, yeah. I was like, wow, great scene, Cynthia, because it cuts away. I was like, thanks,
Cynthia. Because she has no one to shoot with. It's, like, just highlighting on how Cynthia's all alone at Lake Bailey.
Yeah.
So everybody's basically getting ready to go to this this event, and Candy's yelling at Don Juan because Shadina shows up for this event, and they're like, "Go park in the guest parking lot, ma'am, a mile away, and take the shuttle up." She's like, "That's my baby, so could we work on that?"
And Kayla is there, and Kayla's like ready to come back to Atlanta because it turns out that in New York you don't get to live in a huge mansion. So she's ready to come back to Atlanta, and then we see there's a flashback of Kayla and Todd talking to each other, and it's just like the battle of slow talking. It's like, Atlanta. Atlanta?
Well, you know, it'd be great if you made some effort here and maybe got a job or something. And,
I can make a job. I can get a job. You know,
It's like scintillating.
So then we go to the party, and everybody shows up, and there's a pink carpet, so everybody's taking their picture, and Eva has baby milk on her boobs because her boobs are leaking.
And
just hugging, kissing. They're like, oh my God, I hope there's no drama tonight. Like, you better hope there is.
Yeah, and Tanya's like, I went with a bold shoulder pad. You never know when you have to check someone. Oh my God, what a great party, Tanyanto.
And then she's like, can I look at your baby, Eva? Oh! She falls down on the ground, and she's like, my ovaries.
And then they're talking about the Kenya interview, and there's also a lot of discussion because Candy is basically crowdsourcing the baby name because it's between Blaze and Banks. I'm not sure if I really like either name, but so everyone has to vote on the name. I was like, that's kind of odd, like having the guests at a giant party
having a vote
on the baby.
That's something we would do.
Yeah, but for like merch, you know, not for a child.
It actually sounds like a recipe for a bank robbery. It's like Blaze Banks. Okay, make it happen. Just get me that money.
Oh man. So Candy's still upset that Todd and Joyce are like fighting, and Todd basically called Joyce 6 hours ago and she didn't take the call, and he's like, you know, it wasn't personal. It wasn't towards you, your mom or you. I had a lot coming, you know, going on and stuff, and Candy's
here's where Todd is killing me.
Yeah.
Okay, so he knows he's going to be in trouble for this, okay? All you have to do is say, I'm sorry. Okay?
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Just say
instead, he smacks gum, won't look at her, is looking off in the distance, fucking smacking gum in his face. That's when he would get poked in both of his eyes at the same time.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. And because she's still like, you couldn't come out from the front of the restaurant to say hi. He's saying he's got a lot going on. He's a lot going on. You know what he's got going on is planning this party. So he filled his day up with all sorts of bullshit. And this is the guy, by the way, who just for two episodes says you don't spend enough time with your family. And now he won't even come back to say hi to his own wife that he complained he doesn't see enough of.
And he's like, well, you want to argue at this event right now? Go ahead, then. It's all on you. It's all on you. It's all on you. Oh. Then I wrote, okay, I hate him. That's my next note.
And then we went to commercial, and we see like a promo for, hey, it's Watch What Happens Live at Home. And I'm like, when are they going to give Andy Cohen a proper camera? I mean, I mean, it looks like you're watching. It's like this. I mean,
I think that's his cell phone, because every time he records this, he's like, look, I have a disco ball in my home office. Like, he's got to show that disco ball every single time.
I know. He keeps doing that. And maybe he's doing it intentionally for, like, the charm of it. But, like, at this point, like, the view is recorded, like, with everyone at home every single day. And everyone has broadcast quality cameras and like a proper microphone, and Andy Cohen is still there on some sort of, you know, Palm Pilot, like recording himself. I'm like, please, someone get him. Come on, Bravo, get him a proper camera, a webcam.
Yeah. So back on the show, Candy's pissed. Todd won't apologize. He's like, you're aggravating me. She's like, you're aggravating me. But here's the other thing. You know, Todd's an asshole. I'm not going to argue about that. I think he's a total prick right now. But Mama Joyce is really an asshole, so she's not going to come to the baby shower.
She should have come.
Like, that is so fucking low down. That is so gross. She's so gross. Mama Joyce is so gross. There, I said it, okay? I don't have to respect your mother. Your mother's a dick. Okay.
She should have come because it's about the baby and it's about your daughter, and you can just ignore Todd.
Fucking disgusting. She's a gross person too. Candy's such a nice person. She's surrounded by gross people.
Yeah, she really is. And notice, by the way, like all the aunts and all the family was just like sitting off to the side because they're like, this is too much, right? Because it is too much. This is an over-the-top thing. And it's ridiculous. So we see Dr. Jackie and Dr. Heavenly. They're there. They show up. And then Cynthia, by the way, she's looking at all these babies and she's like, wow, all these babies, I'm kind of getting a little baby chill in the air. I'm like, nope, will not accept this. Nope, I reject it.
Yeah, I know, Cynthia. Sorry, okay? You're Synth 51. Please just stop.
Yeah.
So then Shadina is just like, no one's talking to Shadina. You know, she's just kind of a prop to be wheeled out at the right time. She's just like kind of sitting on the couch with her kid. And Candy just keeps telling us how weird this all is. She's like, well, I get that it's my baby, but it's in that lady. And then they show an arrow going into Shadina's stomach. They're like, look, this is what she means.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then there's like, we're just going back and forth. And Tanya's hugging Nini at one point and saying like, I don't even care what anyone says. You are a true friend who treated me like shit. And then basically tolerated me to get back on the show. That's a true friend.
And then he's like, oh, yeah, Wendy called me and told me about that. Wendy, you know, Williams on television. She called me. Mm-hmm. So then Shamia leads some bachelor party game or some baby shower games,
which basically resulted in a lot of the husbands going up there wearing pregnancy bellies and Dennis trying to do the limbo, which is, that's just a cruel thing to do to someone who's basically, you know, one of those little yellow guys from that movie.
Oh, yeah.
What are those guys called again?
From Despicable Me. I don't know. Those little fuckers. They're everywhere. Little fuckers are everywhere.
I forget what they're called, but that's basically what he is. It's like, imagine one of those little yellow guys with a pregnancy belly trying to do the limbo.
Yeah. A super low energy version.
Yeah.
So then Nini and Kenya are in the kind of the same space because all the girls are gathered together and, you know, both giving each other dirty looks and stuff. And Nini's like, Kenya's a piece of work, but I will not let her derail me off my spiritual journey. Like, oh, we're still sticking to that. Like 2 weeks after you were trying to spit at somebody.
Yeah. By the way, minions. They're called minions.
Minions, yes.
Yeah. So Marlo tries to stir things up. And she's like, hey, Kenya, read that. It's a Google alert. What does it say? And Kenya's like, well, it says, Kenya Moore, Nini is a bully with no friends. Let the shade throwing begin. Yeah. She's like, yep, I said it.
Yeah, and Marlo's like, well, that's being fake, right? What? Oh, no, she goes, that's fake, right, that story? She goes, no, she's always been a bully, and she's still a bully. She just tried to spit on me. And Nini's like, no. She says, the people in the circle. No, Nini's just gibberish.
She goes, let's be very clear, bully. You bully plenty of people in this circle.
Oh, okay, Kenya's
like, I guess she said peoples, and so Kenya's like, peoples? She goes, yes, plenty of people. Mm-hmm. So Candy's like, fuck this shit, I'm going back up on stage because I need to introduce Shadina to the crowd.
Yeah, which was also, they get mad that everybody's fighting, but they didn't start fighting during your speech. You started the speech in the middle of a fight.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? So then Marlo goes, how do you try to spit on somebody? If you spit on somebody, you either spit on them or you don't, which is kind of a weak defense, but you know, she's no lawyer. Yeah. So they start squabbling and screaming during this whole, like, Shadeen is so important to me speech.
Yeah. Exactly. And like they're making a whole scene, and Needy kept saying stuff like, if I wanted to spit on you, you will know you've been spit on, you know, all this stuff that somehow I don't know, it's ridiculous. So then so they're fighting and accusing each other of being bullies, and then like they settle down for like a second, and so Kenya walks over to Shamia, who's standing near Needy. So then it's like very close to Needy. So then it's like things like flare up again, because it's like, is Kenya trying to like get in Nini's face or not? And basically you see in the background a producer just like pushes the security guard right into the women. You just see this hand come and just be like, get in there quickly, you know.
Yeah, because Needy stands up and she's like, do not touch me, which no one's touching her, right?
No one is.
Right. And so Taz just at the mic going, excuse me, this is a celebration of life. And they're just screaming and yelling that they're low class. And
yeah.
Know. Oh, God. So then we've got two camps of girls. Portia is telling Needy, oh, that was just to provoke you. She went close to you because she wanted you to hit her. You know, she's just trying to provoke you.
Yeah. And Needy, and, you know, because Nini's like, yeah, Needy's like, she wanted me to punch her. I'm like, well, you're the one who fell for it. You're the one who got out of your chair, you know?
So Needy's also the one that's had to be held back by security, what, two or three times just this season?
Yes.
From getting violent. So shut up.
Yeah, exactly. And then Cynthia and Kenya and Eva are talking, and Cynthia's basically saying that Needy talking about trying to drag a girl in the streets when she's 55 is not really good look. It's not as good of a look as when you're just 52 and saying, I want a little baby chill in the air. Yeah.
Baby chill. So then Kenya, you know, then we get the speech of like, Shadeen is so great and everything. And Todd's like, I would like to take this moment to apologize to my wife. I wasn't a good husband earlier, and I'm sorry to Mama Joyce. And everyone's like, ah.
And you know, I hated that. You know why I hated that, right?
Well, it's just like a public display. It's like, of course you can't be sorry in private, but you're going to get all the public points for it now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, I do appreciate it's a grand gesture, and he was trying to like sort of create like this embarrassing moment for himself by doing this in public, and everyone's like, oh, poor Todd. But like, yeah, he's doing this thing to get all this credit. Meanwhile, Candy's probably just spent the past 2 hours of this party fuming, not really being able to enjoy herself, because Todd was like, rather than me apologize to her, I'm gonna now so she can enjoy herself. I'll wait till I'm up on stage and it could be this big thing where I look like just the biggest gentleman. It's like, to me, it was totally disgusting.
Yeah, but I liked it because I knew that Mama Joyce would see this and just be fuming that she looks worse.
That's probably true, too. So then it's time to, like, vote for the baby name. And so they vote, and then Riley reads the results. And Riley reads it in the most Riley way. She goes, and the winner is
Blaze.
Every kid on this show. Like, Noelle, Riley, Kayla, they are... I think it's just because their moms have so much personality that they have just like gone in the opposite direction of just like trying hard to not really register any sort of emotion in anything that they ever say.
I would have done a write-in vote and just voted for French fry, because why should Portia be the only one with the food products? You know?
Yeah.
We could have hot dog and French fry.
Yeah.
So then we get the ending cards or whatever. And I'm like, wow, this is going to be more exciting than the whole season. But no, it wasn't.
Yeah, they're actually a little shady. It's like, Candy has finally figured out the secret to her work-life balance. She's spending more time with her family thanks to the National Shelter in Place Order. It took a pandemic for Candy to finally spend some time with her family.
Yeah. And then Kenya's fake marriage is still not fakely over. Fake.
And in 2020, Eva and Mike are trying not to have a baby, but her custody woes are over, and she plans to be baby-free at least until Cynthia's wedding.
Yeah, and then Portia is spending time with Dennis, but there's no wedding date. Her cookie jar is still closed. Sometimes.
And then Nini has moved on from trying to spit on her foes. She's now spitting bars on her new single, Honey, popcorn sold separately, bloop.
Okay. And then Cynthia's gone to LA and she's practicing for a honeymoon.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Oh God, thank God that season's over. Jeez.
Seriously, I don't even know how the reunion will be like, considering how choppy and awkward the Watch What Happens Live at Homes have been. But now let's move on to Shaw's, which also had a lot of stuff happening this week.
Yes, yeah, so Shaw's, it's a big vacation episode.
Yeah, so it starts off with Mike.
Welcome
and Paul.
Welcome to Chit Chat.
Chit Chat.
Can I help you?
I was like, ew, I don't know what this is. I already dislike it. A coffee shop called Chit Chat. Ugh. So Mike and Paulina, they go to this place and they're just talking about how there's like all this drama and everything. And Mike's like, so I planned this amazing trip for Paulina's birthday. And let me tell you where we were going. Hawaii, you know? And I thought it'd be really fun for your birthday if I invited the whole crew out to join. So what do you think?
She's like, wow, so basically a free vacation. Thanks.
Yeah. She's like, did you notice
they get the coffee and she pays with a black Amex? And he's like, thanks, babe. She's like, you're welcome, my love.
I did not notice that. That's
his
amazing.
Sugar mama. His sugar mama paying it chit chat with her black Amex. And he's like, oh, you look hot today, baby. You look so hot. She's like, thanks, I love you. So, yeah, she's like super psyched to be stuck on this trip with his jackass friends. And she's like, you guys are like 40, so come on. I was like, wow, she talks like me.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, like we'll use an excuse to regroup.
Yeah.
That's not what you're saying at all.
No, it's not at all. He goes, common sense tells me it's your girlfriend's birthday and you should take her away for a romantic trip just for you and her. And then the other side of me says, free trip from Bravo if I invite everyone to come along. So I'm like, I like what he talks about common sense, because I don't think we've ever actually seen him listen to common sense ever.
Yeah, no. So then we go over to Nima and Mona. They're hanging out with their mom. And yeah. Nima's really upset still about his, you know, how he was raised. The mom took Mona, the dad took him and moved to California, and he's still really, you know, all fucked up about it.
Yeah.
And the mom's like, oh, well, when are you gonna have babies and this and that? He's like, well, because of the way you raised me, I will never have babies.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He's like, I'm gonna say something, and I don't want it to make you upset, but our childhood was so traumatic that it strengthened my resolve to never have kids. And you were a terrible mom, and dad was terrible too. And honestly, I kind of wish I'd just been born to different people, but I don't want to make you upset.
Yeah, no shit. And the mom's like, okay, look, I get it, and I'm sorry, but you can't use your past to sabotage your whole life, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that's really hard for me to hear you just say, like, get over it, dude. Like, what am I? Just get over it, dude. You know, I really don't like that. Nima, get over it, dude.
She's like, you know what? 2 years ago, I wrote you a whole letter about what happened, and it was really emotional. It was really hard for me. And it's been 2 years since I wrote that. And, you know, and he's like, apparently Nima never read this letter because he's scared to. He's scared that there's something's going to happen that's going to dredge up feelings or make him feel a certain sort of way to his dad. And she's like, listen, you want to know what happened? Read that 6-page letter. And in my mind, I'm thinking, 6 pages? I was like, that's kind of short for like the traumatic backstory of your child life, right? I kind of feel like at least get into double digits, right?
No, I mean, I think that's pretty long, a handwritten letter, you know? I mean, I think, first of all, he asked her for a letter, then didn't read it, and is still giving her shit about it.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to
cool.
say, I of all people am not going to say, like, oh, your child, you don't get to just be traumatized your whole life, because Lord knows I've worked out a lot of stuff on this show. But at the same time, you look stupid when you just blame your life, you know, your past for every single thing. Like, you're not single because your mom sucks. You're single because you treated your, you know, because you treated that girl you were dating like shit and made her look stupid on national TV. That's why. Yeah. So if you're going to blame your mom for that, you know, I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. You were a fucking asshole, okay?
Yeah.
And so stop blaming your parents for every goddamn thing, dude.
Yeah.
So also, then I'm sick of watching it, okay? Maybe it's because we're doing Atlanta and this in the same day, but shut up, Nima.
Well, so then we go to a coffee shop where Destiny and MJ meet up, and they're like, it's obviously things are like very frosty between them because they have that like fake the sort of like the fake compliments to open up a conversation, a tough conversation, where MJ's like, Destiny's like, you look cute. And MJ goes, I like your jacket. It's like this very like reluctant compliments.
Destiny is just sitting there literally pouting. Like,
yes.
You heard me, Marys.
So MJ is like, you know what? I'm just here to apologize and to be transparent. And so this way we can air all the things that you did wrong in this situation. Great.
Yeah. She's like, I hope we can keep this energy because the crying and the confrontation and your terrible wig at the last party when you were like a Janice from the Muppets on crack, like coming at me for no reason. Like, let's try not to do that today. Okay.
And Destiny's like, you realize the tears are from her, right? I mean, I really thought Maris and I were sisters, but she hurt me and she's betrayed me and she doesn't even see it. I just don't trust her.
How did Maris betray you? You still haven't explained one single thing that she's done to you.
I guess the betrayal is that Destiny claims that Maris told them, like, go do this on camera, and then Maris is acting like she didn't do anything. Maybe that's
God,
the betrayal.
You're still the one who went on camera and did it.
Yeah. And Destiny's like, I thought you had my back. And then Allie walks in perfectly timed. Hi, guys.
And she's like, whatever these two have cooked up, I want no part of it. So Destiny won't even look at him. And he's like, hi, you. And she's like, I have a headache, so. So then MJ sits him down for like this full transparency talk. And she's like, listen, I knew that Allie had a problem with Reza. I knew he wanted to talk to you about it. I said, go for it. So there's me being accountable. Now, how about you go? And then Destiny's like, well, I know for a fact that I regret how I've come off, for sure. Okay, so you still did nothing wrong. Great talk.
Yeah. And Allie's saying how they're his closest friends. And then MJ was basically like, but then you said to Reza that I was talking about his marriage. And Allie goes, that was the part that I had to improvise. I was like, wait, what? What does that mean?
Yeah, he goes, that's the part where I had to improvise because she said, pointing at Destiny. And MJ's like, wait, improvise. Don't drag my name into this, you know, MJ's concern for Reza's marriage bullshit, you know?
Yeah, and he's like, that was my mistake.
Yeah, this guy's such... I think MJ had it right when she just called him a weasel the last time. This guy's just such a fucking weasel.
You mean MJ called Allie a weasel?
Yeah, she said, why are you listening to this weasel?
Yeah. So now Destiny thinks it's all
like,
fake.
Don't call me a weasel. She's like, whatever, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Destiny thinks it's all fake, and that basically Allie is falling on a sword to protect MJ. Because Allie said that Destiny that MJ had put him up to all of it, and now he's not saying that anymore. Now he's like kissing her ass and being like, I improvised it, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, he said they both put him up to it, right? Well, I mean, at different times.
Way.
He said he said at different times different things, which is why are we even talking to this guy?
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to prove? Still a weasel, still as much of a weasel as he was.
Yeah. So either way, MJ forces Destiny to hug her in this like very, very lackluster, unenthusiastic hug. Because normally Destiny loves a hug. I mean, she practically hugged that possum she found on the street. But MJ's like, can I get a hug? And Destiny is just so reluctant, but does it anyway.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to get yelled at Reza again, okay? I need this job. So, So then Reza and Adam are at home, like, you know, Reza's doing his fake, like, my marriage is so happy thing. He's like, how is my husband? Ooh.
I was really focused on the cat that was eating the roses. I was like, this is a scene. This is a scene. Cat eating roses. I got everything I need out of it.
Honey, it is so late. I was going to wait to eat, but it is almost 9 o'clock. So basically, Adam comes in and Reza makes a Jenga joke. He's like, I'm gone next week, so no naked Jenga.
And Adam's like, I actually want to have a conversation. It's not as serious as it sounds, but I want to explain the whole Jenga thing. I went through my text messages, and Allie was right. I did mention something, naked whatever, and I told him immediately that night that I was joking. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why did it take you weeks and weeks and weeks to like sit down Reza and clarify this. Something is so fishy about this. And he says, you know, later on he says, well, you know, it's like the reason why I haven't been able to say it is because I try to say things and you talk over me and tell me to be quiet. And I'm like, if you're being falsely accused of infidelity, you're not going to let someone like talk over you in that moment to exonerate yourself. So this whole like weeks and weeks and weeks and be like, by the way, I have something to share. I did finally look up what I texted him. That's so, oh, yeah. fishy. Yeah.
It means that something else was found. That somebody else has got some more ammo against Adam for him to be like, oh yeah, it was in there. For him to like suddenly
I finally looked up my text messages with Allie. I think that's like the first, if you didn't do a naked Jenga thing, the first thing that you do is you say, what did I text him? What is he saying about me? What is he, or what is he going to show? Or he showed text messages to Reza. What did he send? You're just not going to sit and look back at your text history with Allie.
And what's also weird about it is Reza was already shown all those texts because Ali Ashuri brought that huge stack of shit. Remember? Mm-hmm. So I'm confused. Like,
yeah.
Was this just shot last week? Do we forget where we are? Like, what's going on? Because this is this whole episode is a weird pivot where Reza is suddenly totally innocent. And it's a bizarre episode. So, yeah, and Adam doing the... Every guy who cheats does that.
Well, it's just because you weren't there for me.
Like, fuck you. Okay, so then Mike and Nima go to the doctor to get Botox. And
the doctor has a faux hawk.
Hottest doctor on Bravo ever. I'm sorry. He was so cute. With the stupid faux hawk. I loved him. Yeah. I loved him.
By the way, you forgot to mention the most important part of that scene with Adam, which is he goes, I'm going to make a big statement. I'd never want MJ here. I don't ever want to be around her again. Not even a hello.
Oh, no. Now I have to respect my husband's wishes. This is so difficult.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, MJ. You are no longer going to be able to have to make that trip all the way to Glendale or the Valley or wherever they are.
I think they're actually in L.A., right? I mean, Glendale is in L.A., but I think that they're in, like, East Hollywood or something. I think so, because their house is so little.
I assumed they were like in Atwater Village or just some far-flung part of Glendale.
Oh, I'm not sure. I can't tell with the streets, but it's so little I assumed that it was like prime property.
It's just so easy to like go in and grab some terracotta pots and throw them around. It just has to be central LA, right?
Yeah. Well, it's hard to tell when there's just Chevron everywhere, you know? Yeah. It's like, wow, there's a lot of Chevrons here. Must be the Valley.
Hard to get your bearings. So anyway, like you said, so we're at the doctor's office, at this very neon-filled doctor's office, and Mike and Nima are there to get some Botox, and Mona is mad at Nima now, he tells us, because he basically sent he read the letter, and then he sent an angry text message to his parents, basically saying, you guys fucked up my life. You guys have ruined my life. As I sit here, my very wealthy in my nice house, with designer clothing and brand new teeth, my life has been totally fucked up.
Yeah. And I'm actually kind of with Mike on this, which makes me really uncomfortable. Because Mike's he doesn't understand. His parents had to flee their country and start over with nothing. And, like, he's just acting like, oh, my parents divorced. It's like, no, dude, they ran from a warring country, like, to save your ass, you know? Yeah. You could be a little more grateful.
Exactly. And Nima reads the letter to the producer, and he's basically, excuse me, his mom said that in the letter, he's like, you know, watching you leave was the hardest thing I've had to do in my life, and it's haunted me for 25 years. And I've taken, you know, I had to take extra shifts to earn the money so I could fly to California because your dad didn't support me, so I didn't have the money, yada, yada, yada. But Nima's basically pissed because she talks about how she feels, but it never addresses why the parents ever split up the family the way they did.
Yeah. And Mike is like, life is short, dude. I hope you get some forgiveness in your heart. Yeah. So then they get Botox and it's all over again.
Exactly. So now all the girls meet up for a girls' night out in downtown LA. And so they all go to like the top of a skyscraper to like have drinks outside, but it's like freezing cold. So they go inside. This is pretty much all that the scene is, them going from outside to inside. And then Gigi talks about her surgery, her traumatic surgery and having to have her fallopian tubes removed, etc. And MJ is like very empathetic and gives her a hug and stuff like that.
And Gigi's like, fuck her, I still hate her. So then Nima's at another doctor's office. Like, Nima, get somebody in your life so you can just stop going to doctor's offices. It's like, I've got to shoot something. It's either Boots and Brews or a doctor. Okay, yeah. I've run out of clients, so let's go to the doctor, a different doctor now.
Yeah, he's with his therapist. So he's talking about the letter, and he's just so angry that he can't even talk with his parents right now. And now he's even more angry at his dad than ever before.
Well, a big mystery was solved for me. A big, unimportant mystery was solved. At the Boots and Brews thing, I was like, why does he have chew in his pocket? Why would you get new teeth and then chew on chew? And it wasn't chew, everybody. It's Icebreakers in the little round container. There you go.
But he kept on the couch.
We saw him on the couch. Yeah. So there's my formal correction.
Yeah. The thing is this. I realized that in my job, it's really important for me to have ice-breaking moments. So then what better way to do that than with an actual circle of icebreakers?
So he says, well, in the letter, she said that my dad reached out to my grandfather and said that, the grandfather said that the dad should take me to Iran take the kids to Iran for a month because they were having problems and they didn't want to see us fighting. I mean, in what world is it better to take us to a place where they're carrying AK-47s in the street? I mean, you'd rather me do that than see you fight? I mean, come on. I was like, well, to them, that wasn't so abnormal, you know?
Yeah. And if you had been there to see them fight, you probably would be in the same therapist's office complaining about growing up in a household where your parents were fighting all the time. I mean, the point is, sadly, there was just no way to escape the trauma of that situation. And I guess I'm assuming by extension that after his dad took him to Iran, that then his dad took him to California. Is that how that all happened? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that they were having problems and fighting all the time. So they said, go to your grandparents' house, which is kind of normal, right? But, of course, the grandparents lived in Iran, so it wasn't as normal. So they shipped them over there, decided to get divorced, and they were like, okay, well, instead of fighting about the kids, I guess you take one kid and I'll take the other kid. And then the dad moved to California with him.
Yeah. Some weird King Solomon shit that went awry, right? Like, wasn't King Solomon the one who said, like, split the child in half?
Oh, God. Anyway. And again, nothing that I'm saying, like, well, that's no big deal. I wouldn't have any trauma about it, but...
No, for sure trauma. Like, I would totally imagine trauma from that situation. But it sounds like also, you know, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to say. We were only getting a glimpse of it. But, like, when his mom's like, I gave you that letter 2 years ago and you haven't read it. So part of it is, like, you got to... At a certain point, you got to start, like, moving on with your life if you're in your, you know, 30s or 40s. Mm-hmm. So then... We then go, now it's time to start packing for Hawaii, which is basically just Mike putting clothes in his bag going, here's one outfit, boom, boom,
boom.
Here's another outfit, boom, boom,
boom, boom.
Here's another outfit, boom, boom,
boom,
black
boom,
t-shirt,
boom,
boom, boom. Black t-shirt, boom, boom.
You know, people always say I wear a black shirt, you know, and I'm like, it's easy. And Pauline goes, yeah, that's all you need. Thanks, babe. I love you. Love you, babe. God, I love you so much, babe. Love you, babe. I love you.
It's a lot of repetition of sounds, right, between love you and boom, boom. And then we go to Reza going, shoes, 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 Jenga block, shoes.
And then MJ talking to her assistant about, like, oh gosh, here, I don't want to leave the baby, but this is my other family. Good luck with that.
Yep.
So then they fly to Hawaii.
And Reza is now doing this whole thing of, like, my plan is to be very cordial and ease into all my MJ conversations and interactions because a bitch lost 40 pounds and you gotta be more careful with a new body. Am I right, everyone? Bitch lost 40 pounds. That's so Persian.
But then, of course, the second they get there, the homeowner or one of the ladies who's, what is she? What is her job? Let me look here. Cultural attaché. Mm. The cultural attaché is like, okay, is everyone here? I need us all to circle up and then put your foreheads against each other and then inhale and exhale and inhale and exhale. I was like, that is a lot of halitosis, okay? Could we have some teeth brushing in a circle before we do this? Because this is disgusting.
Seriously, I love that lady because when Gigi walked in and she had a lei from the airport, so this lady had a lei for her, and Gigi's like, wow, and the lady goes, and this one's real. It's like, oh, I love that. Lei shade.
Yeah, some lace shade. Well, it's easy to be shady when you're dressed in Kyle by Shahida.
But, you know, the other thing is with Reza saying this whole thing of, like, I'm just trying to take baby steps, is that what he's really doing is painting a picture of himself as this wounded animal that's just trying to, like, against his, emotionally he doesn't want to do this, but he's going to try his best because that's the sort of hero that he is. He's going to reconcile with MJ, even though it's painful to him. And I'm like, I'm not going to just... It's not that hard to put your forehead onto her forehead, okay? He's like, whoa, this is like a lot. I'm like, no. Rub your forehead on her forehead. You guys have done much worse.
Yeah, the best part was when they put their foreheads and then they immediately turn away from each other.
Yeah. So
so now we're trying to make this Nima and Gigi thing happen again. I'm not really sure where this is coming from, but there is no chemistry there. Please stop with trying to make us think that this is actually a thing. We know it's not. Okay, find something else to do, kids.
Seriously. And then everyone sits down for lunch, and Reza's like, I want to have a grown-up conversation with two people that are really special to me. So why, MJ and Destiny, are the two of you still engaging in conversations with someone that didn't have my best interest at heart? Reza, God. Regarding Allie.
This vacation is not about you and your stupid feelings. Your husband cheated on you, okay? Get over it. Talk to your husband. Get out of here. And you're not fooling anyone with your hashtag bamboozled shirt either, buddy.
So basically, MJ's like, you know what? Over the past 4 years, Allie has, you know, he showed up for my father's deathbed. He showed up in ways others haven't. And, you know, Reza, you've done things to me in the past. And, you know, and I went... You've done things to me when I have literally done nothing. Nothing. And then it cuts to her at the boots and beer thing going, my hands are not clean. I'll admit that.
Yeah. Well, she was saying, you've done all this shit into the past and I've never retaliated against you. And if I was going to retaliate, it would have been one of those times, you know?
Yeah.
So she just gets up and walks off. And Mike's like, oh my God, you guys are killing me. I really wanted to talk about my black shirts in this scene. And everyone gets up and walks away, annoyed that it's like, okay, great. Rez is going to make this whole vacation about what a victim he is, you know? And Sarah's like, can we enjoy our day? It's only a short time that we're here. Hey, Sarah, do something, okay?
Yeah, exactly. So Reza goes, I'm like literally scratching my back. My back started to scratch so badly. I'm like, yeah, what's happening in the show? Yeah. Okay.
They're picking rooms and Reza goes into MJ's room and she's like, oh my God, you are literally the worst. She's like, how am I the worst? I'm owning everything.
She's basically like, where's the call that I deserve, you know? And he's like, well, why didn't you hit me up to say, yo, bitch, I'm feeling five kinds of ways right now. I'm like, because she was giving birth and going through a traumatic physical surgery.
So they have, you know, she's like, but I wanted to be in the hospital, but I wasn't in a good place.
You don't have to be in a good place to go help your best friend of 30 years deliver a baby.
Yeah, so she's like, so basically what we're saying is we both lacked empathy for what the other person was going through. And he's like, well, you know, my best friend on Earth, it's like, for her to sit there and entertain someone who would do something that wasn't positive to me. It's like, oh my God.
So everyone has to always do something positive to you. Okay. And he goes,
yes.
So she's like, okay, so I didn't think what you were going through and you didn't think what I was going through. And he goes, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, I forgive everyone. And what I did to Ali was the same thing that Tommy did for me. So I was standing up for my husband the way Tommy stood up for you. So therefore, I'm the bigger person and I can't wait to hug and go back to thrashing you on Instagram.
I'm crying right now. She's like, okay, get out.
Yeah. And that was Shaz. So we'll be back next week with more fun Shaz goodness, etc. And tomorrow we have Vanderpump Rules. So and plenty of a million other shows this week. So go listen. Go check out those small businesses we mentioned at the top of the show. Go follow us on Instagram at Watch What Crappens, Twitter at What Crappens, and be sure to sign up on Patreon, which is patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens, to make sure you're getting the most bang for your buck Crappens wise. So you get our bonus episodes, you can watch Crappens on demand, and all that other great stuff.
Bye, everybody. Love yous.
Bye.